Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're back with Roger Ogden, United Way's campaign cabinet chair. And Roger, thank you so much for coming in studio. I had the benefit of talking to some folks from United Way about the ALICE report. And ALICE is an acronym for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. I love reading this report because I'm all about the data. And the data speaks a thousand words. Math knows no emotion. It knows no ethnic group, no race. It is what it is. And the data here is absolutely, I think, outlines the challenges for United Way, the challenges for our community, and trying to address those collectively and collaboratively together. Your thoughts?
Let's just be honest with each other in this discussion this morning. When we look at New Orleans and what aspects of our community help propel us ahead to create more jobs, more economic wealth, therefore more well-being for the health, the education, and the financial stability of our people, there are so many great things happening in the city now. I mean, we're on a roll. The one constant lousy thing is the fact that mid-40% of our households in Southeast Louisiana, this is not just a New Orleans thing, it's a North Shore thing, it's a St. Bernard, it's a Plaquemines thing, it's region-wide. The fact that mid-40% of our households are struggling, that's where the ALICE acronym comes from. Mm-hmm. And to me, the people that are most needing of and willing to play ball are those who are working, who are taking individual initiative and are trying to be self-sufficient. But there's a lot of things that combine to make that really difficult, to where one hiccup along the way can really bankrupt a family. So the ALICE program is one of the things that got me off my seat and involved with United Way. I'm gonna also be forthright. Until about 5 or 6 years ago, under the leadership of Michael Williamson, I felt United Way was kind of a sleepy deal. And I know you know, and most people who know me know, I've had a very robust philanthropic personal program and companies and partnerships that I've been involved with as well. And so I did my thing, but what turned my head was the Blueprint for Prosperity that they promulgated about 3 or 4 years ago, and then most recently this ALICE thing. And you know, just in my own self-analysis to want to get involved. And I reached out to them and said, you know, I like what you're doing. Met with Michael, hadn't known him before. But the fact that there is a new engagement, and that engagement is timely, because in the 21st century, those of us in business better realize that hopefully it will be holistic and come from within. The fact that there's a need for social responsibility of every business, every small business, every company, every corporation, there's a real yearning for that. It's been building over our lifetimes, Newell. You know, we've watched it from the 60s, you know, to now. But it's really become of age in this millennial generation where people believe that you can do well and do good. And so that's what the United Way programs are designed, including ALICE, to augment. It's not about, as a biblical parable go, it's not about giving a man a fish. It's about giving him a pole or putting together with a pole so he can learn to fish. And that's where the individual initiative and self-sufficiency comes in that really appeals to most businessmen. United Way is not about just giving. It's about enhancing the idea or being a catalyst to the idea of people helping themselves.
You know, what I like about the report is that I think a lot of folks, both that work in government, that work in business, and just everyday folks, we drive around and we see a lot of the progress that's happening. But we don't really see the second layer. And what I, from the first ALIS report that I reviewed, it identified an issue that is not readily apparent. Of what you talked about, of that 40%, I'll call it near poor, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. that are a half a step away from crisis because they do well enough not to qualify for a lot of programs. They do for some, but not all. But sometimes they're actually more at risk than the group beneath them.
Amen.
As you pointed out, it highlights the stressors of our employees in many companies across the spectrum. And every business decision you've probably ever made initially starts with data.
Yes.
You know, and so that's what I really liked about this is that putting the data in the picture together of where we stand, parish by parish, and I've read, this is the whole report. I have the whole thing. I've read through the entire report because I think it's that well done in outlining the challenges that each parish have. And then the striking thing is how much each parish actually affects one another.
Absolutely right on. I think you know, but you know, I was the founding chairman of the Super Region Committee, which is now SOLA Super Region, to put Baton Rouge metro area and New Orleans metro area together. It's amazing in 8 years how far we have come and how much each of us has learned about coming together. We're stronger than competing with each other. And what's good for Baton Rouge is good for New Orleans, and what's good for New Orleans is good for Baton Rouge. In Louisiana, we love to divide up into silos. So same is true with the major issues facing the greater New Orleans area. Talking about data, I mean, it's mind-boggling. Almost one in two households in this southeast Louisiana region are either in poverty or their ALIS household. And that's mind-boggling. And if we just look at it selfishly from the standpoint of the good of the city, of the metro area, of businesses operating in this city, I mean, hopefully there's some empathy there too. But just looking at it selfishly, what an anchor that is to hold our ship from sailing at full speed, to have roughly 50% of our households and 40 mid-40s percent of our people held back by poverty or near poverty or working and employed but poor. We all know you don't fix this like that. There's not a pure government. This is all private. This mm-hmm. is all private that the United Way does. And having just interviewed Steve Scalise earlier, Steve and I've talked many times about the circus that Washington is today. Well, you know what? There's something that's really serious addressing real problems happening right here, right now in Greater New Orleans.
Roger, you know, the other thing that's also striking to me is that the issues and the challenges actually have been the same for the last 30, 40 years. When you think about housing, healthcare, and education, just three off the top of my head, that are the stressors that everyone faces in making sure that there's adequate housing stock for those in that category, as well as healthcare today with medical inflation being what it's been over the last 20 years, where even those that are in the middle income and upper middle income are stressed by that cost center. And in education, the quality of education. And, you know, you looking for a workforce in your companies and so many of our friends out there looking for a workforce and have a difficult time doing so.
We have too many people in the cart and not enough horses. So when I use the metaphor of an anchor, keeping the ship from sailing at full speed, another metaphor is the horse in the cart. The truth of the matter is that wealth creation, which is produced by capital formation capitalism, and that's free market, free market enterprise. That's business. That's companies, small and large, medium and large, and it's corporations. So it is in the best interests of those who are in the mid-40s% and suffering, whether working or not, from poverty or poor. It's in their best interest, as it is in the companies and the business people, creating the value that can fund the pathway for them to get out of that. And because New Orleans has not had, historically, since 1950 or so, a great business community, this is timely what United Way is doing.
Absolutely. And I think you're right. It's going to take the private sector, the public sector, groups like United Way. I went to GNO Inc.'s banquet Friday. Mm-hmm. The Come Together video, I was talking about it in my transition with Tommy Tucker, was absolutely incredible. Yep. The importance of partnership, that there's not any one singular agency that has the assets or resources necessary to accomplish what we've been talking about right here this morning. We'll talk more about this with Roger Ogden when we return. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and we're talking to Roger Ogden, United Way's campaign cabinet chair. Let's go to line one, talk to Jay and Slidell real quick. Jay, what say you?
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I really think that, you know, especially with public perception on, you know, subsidies and stuff like that, I always feel that someone that is willing to work, willing and able to work, you know, full-time, whatever that is now, 32, 36 hours a week, deserves more help than someone that just wants to sit around. And, you know, it's unfortunate. It seems like sometimes with some of these, you know, major corporations that employ a lot of people, they don't pay them enough, and then all those people qualify for, or a lot of those people qualify for food assistance and other programs. Who are we subsidizing at that point, that worker or that corporation?
Well, that's always something that comes up. And, Roger, I'll flip it to you. I mean, I think businesses tend to look at things as it relates to an individual employee as a productive unit. And, you know, I'll go back to the math. The math doesn't lie, and the math is what generates all of the financial statements of corporations and otherwise. And there's a lot of people believe there's a lot more flexibility than there actually is in some companies. Some companies do, some don't, depending on how much human capital is required in order to reach the output of whatever it is that they sell, right?
When you break it down to bottom line, the return to a given business varies from A to Z. For instance, grocery stores. Grocery stores operate off somewhere. You're a really successful grocer if you're making somewhere between 1% and 1.5% net. So the pressure on wages is immense. Having said that, I agree with Jay. Having said that, that I believe we're in a new day. I believe that business, most businesses, and especially the really smart businesses, are getting out in front. First of all, they're being populated. The businesses are being populated by younger and younger folks who have a greater social conscience than previous generations did. And so the smart businesses are pursuing their social responsibility. And that includes paying a fair wage given their business matrix, which is what you were referring to, and what they can afford. And the beautiful thing about the free market system is that if I'm in the same business and I'm A and my competitor is B, and we deliver whatever it is, widgets, you know, then, you know, if B starts getting a little lazy and isn't paying their folks enough, they're going to get exactly that kind of productivity out of their folks. And if I want to be smarter, I'm going to hire the best and I'm going to pay them more. And then that's going to outcompete my competitor. Now, that's just the raw, pure business side, selfish side of it, I like to say. But businesses also today are coming around, reflective of who their employees are, to wanting to do social social responsibility things out of the public good, realizing that they're part of the equation. Businesses will some businesses, many businesses, most businesses will yipe about increasing minimum wage. They don't want some third party government telling them how much they should pay their employees for the reason that you said. Different businesses have different markups and therefore what they can pay who are good and socially responsible businesses. Well, if you're going to oppose that, then damn it, get down and understand what your employees' issues are, how you can make them better employees. It will benefit your business, but you also can be, your first social responsibility is to your employees.
Absolutely. When we come back, much as you just described the transformation of private sector businesses, that same holds true in the not-for-profit world, and United Way has gone through a transformation, and we'll talk about the new United Way when we come back with Roger Ogden. Stay with us. We're back with Roger Ogden, United Way's campaign cabinet chair. And Roger, one of the things that we've been talking about is this social responsibility thought process of companies when they're developing their mission and vision statement and making sure that that's embedded in that transformation. But there's been a transformation in the not-for-profit world, too, because a lot of folks misunderstand that not-for-profits are like, they don't run themselves like a business, and it's much to the contrary. They run themselves exactly like a business because they need to. And I think that there's been this transformation, and you've referred to a transformation in United Way and the new United Way. Tell us about it.
In the past, it used to be a one-way street where United Way would go to business and to individuals and say, give to us because we do good things. And that was true. They did do good things. But it was just a one-way street. You give to us and we'll go do good things.
And then we'll tell you about the good things we did.
That's right. In the new world, and with the sort of energy that Michael Williamson has brought to our United Way here in Greater New Orleans, it's a two-way street. And the two-way street is this, is that United Way has figured out that when it goes into to corporations and companies and asks them to do an employee campaign, which is really sort of new. It's the bedrock of what makes United Way successful, those employee campaigns. They found that as they were doing those, they realized that there were a lot of employees who were interested in more than just having a contribution. And that some of those employees, this is where Alice came from, some of those employees actually could utilize themselves the services that United Way provides. So that's first the Blueprint for Prosperity was promulgated and then followed by Alice. And so now United Way in this world of increased social responsibility of business, United Way has offered themselves, we are offering ourselves to be you company-wide internal community relations without having to hire a community relation, especially if you're a small or medium-sized business. We can be that. Mm-hmm. We can come in and consult with you just like a professional consultant is going to cost you X number of dollars. And more importantly, we have the track record and the experience of working with employees and companies and know that when the brass of a company allows United Way to come in and to do an employee campaign, that getting those employees to engage, we discover not only are whether they are interested in giving, but also whether they're interested in engagement, in volunteering. And then the last thing with Alice is whether they have needs. And could our Prosperity Center, the Leonard Prosperity Center, be of value to them, for instance?
You know, the interesting thing is that there's more small businesses than there are large businesses, but the information, the experience set that United Way gathers from their work with large businesses can be used to leverage for small businesses. There's no sense in recreating the wheel, right? And if there's something that's been successful there, as you pointed out, bring the assets and resources of United Way to them and tell those success stories. And, you know, they're so busy churning every day, they don't really maybe have time to focus on that, and y'all can backfill that, that for them?
If the SOLA super region that we put together between business in New Orleans and business in Baton Rouge to come together and collaborate on economic development, if that concept works as a shopping center developer where you put many retailers together and they're stronger as a whole than each one spread out all over the place, that same concept, believe it or not, works when you're addressing major community issues. And so an example of how United Way is very business sensitive. For every $1 that we contribute, whether we're business or whether we're individuals, contribute to United Way, there's a return of $2.65 to the community. Any businessman knows that's a lot better than grocery stores that I refer
to. That's a
lot
better than most businesses,
that's right, quite frankly.
Right. Absolutely. Let's go to line one, talk to James in Metairie. What say you, James?
Well, thank you very much, Newell. I have a question for your guest. This is concerning the combined federal campaign, which I'm sure United Way is part of that.
Are you guys part of that? Do you know? The combined federal campaign.
Not anymore.
Not any longer.
Oh, not anymore. Oh, okay. My bad. Okay. Well, my question is irrelevant then. Well, thank you for everything you do, sir.
Okie dokie, James. Appreciate it. It's good that we got that resolved right away. We got to get to a break. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Roger Ogden, United Way's campaign cabinet chair, when we return. We're back. We're talking to Roger Ogden, United Way's campaign cabinet chair. And Roger, I'm going to flip a little bit and go to some of the other endeavors that you're involved in. I know you've been intimately involved with the airport and the business groups that have brought that together. Where do we stand? I know they have a proposed opening in the spring of this year. That's very exciting. I think it's going to bring a lot of energy. And a lot of what GNO Inc. talked about this past Friday were new airlines, new flights overseas, and new opportunities for the residents here.
That all that was talked about at the GNO Inc. Annual meeting on Friday was the result of the last decade, almost 10 years of work by the Aviation Board. When the mayor asked me to go on the Aviation Board about 8 years ago, I was interested because it's a very small board. There are only nine of us. It's one of the best boards, Newell, I've ever served on.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, because it's politically appointed. The mayor appoints, and then the St. Charles Parish and Jeff have, you know. So we got St. Charles Parish represented, Jefferson Parish represented, but all the people on it, I mean, literally, all the people on it are excellent, and they all bring some life experience too. So we started working 10 years ago, about more or less, to get the corruption and patronage that had plagued the airport for decades, get it out. And we succeeded. And Iftikhar Ahmad, the then director, deserves a lot of credit for leading that cleanup. The next step was we had to learn to juggle. At the same time, we were doing a cosmetic makeover of the airport to host the Super Bowl for New Orleans. We were also in the initial stages of planning for the possibility of a new terminal so we would have a 21st century front door to the city of New Orleans. And the substance of what's gone on over the last 10 years is manifested by this new terminal. But all along, we had priorities. One was to obviously increase the selection of flights to the flying public, the number of carriers, the pricing of the carriers, to hold our landing fees down. We call it our airline revenues.
Right.
It's a little bit contrary to businessmen thinking. We want to increase our non-airline revenues, like parking and concessions and so forth, and we want to decrease our airline revenues because airlines will locate new flights in the cities that have the lowest cost for them to operate. Just makes sense, you know. It's been a learning experience.
That's how you become a successful hub, right?
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. And mayor asked me, and I asked him, you know, if I'm going to go on there and help lead the effort to, as a developer, as a commercial developer, to bring a new airport to New Orleans, I'm all in, and I will give my time to do that. And he said, well, that's why I'm asking you. And so it was a really good partnership. Mayor Cantrell's picked up right where Mitch left off. And we've had great support politically. We've had great support from the business community. And the GNO Inc. presentation of the new flights, whether it's BA or Condor or Copa and the international connections, because we were an international city 30 or 40 years ago, and we lost that. We're rebuilding it.
For the benefit of the listening audience, I've done a lot of reading on this issue, and getting a new airport today is not easy. In fact, to the contrary, is very much frowned upon. But we were stuck with an airport that which the major infrastructure of it was actually built in, what, the late 40s, early 50s,
right,
if my memory serves me correct. So our needs may have been a little bit greater than some of the other major metro areas that have expressed a desire to rebuild their airport, but they don't have the business oomph, they don't have the political oomph, and they lack the financial oomph in order to get it accomplished, and they haven't been able to get it accomplished. So we've kind of been the little engine that could in many respects.
And I'm incredibly proud of that. Just as the underlying theory of United Way is to pull the community together to get tough problems solved, the airport came together. It was the business community, the political community, Jefferson Parish and Orleans Parish, St. Charles Parish, Baton Rouge, which actually brought us their Booz Allen study back right after Katrina, when there was a real paranoia in New Orleans about Baton Rouge wanting to take over all of our businesses and so forth. And Baton Rouge Area Foundation and John Spain in particular offered to share their study, which they thought, when they funded the $350,000 study back when, was going to show that the airport should be located between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, Donaldsonville, or someplace like that, or that it should be Baton Rouge. And when the study came back, said, it's Armstrong, and it will be Armstrong for the foreseeable future, and was willing to share that. I brought John to the business council. He brought reports for every member of the business council and made a presentation to us. It changed the whole tone.
Breaking down parochial thought process for the benefit of the whole at its best, right?
Yes.
Final thoughts about United Way.
Well, the final thoughts about United Way are that I hope people will follow my path of realizing this is a new United Way. It's a reinvigorated United Way, re-energized United Way. And it is attacking the biggest problem that is holding us back, not by just giving, but helping people become self-sufficient and taking initiative.
Thank you so much for joining us in studio. We really appreciate it. Roger Ogden, we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.